Hi there, welcome to this recording, which is part two of the content about the emotional pillar of the self. Let's talk about perceiving emotion. So, like I said in part one, you know, the mind of the heart is important. The mind strengthens the heart. The emotional body appreciates the balance of a steady listening mind. And to perceive emotion, the mind has to be on board. A steady, observant, observational mind has to be on board so that we can perceive our emotion. The mind holds a space for the heart, really. The masculine energy of mind guards, or is designed to guard and perceive, the feminine energy of the emotional body. So the mind creates a sacred masculine container in which emotions can be held or caught momentarily for the purpose of spiritual work. As the mind perceives the emotions, we can catch the subtle intuitive messages they contain. As we perceive the emotions moving through us, we open up the eye of the heart. We can see how we feel. We can feel emotions, you guys, as energetic currents, if we look at them with the assistance of a steady mind. We can see that emotions are moving intelligent energy, or energy in motion, or for short, emotion. Energy in motion, or emotional energy, is a powerful force. And it's so powerful that we can easily get wrapped up and tangled in this energy. In other words, we lose ourselves to the emotion. If we are saturated with emotion and unable to hold the mind steady, we can absolutely lose the plot. And we've all done this from time to time. It's common to get so caught up that we begin to identify with the emotion. It's pulled us into it. So we can feel sometimes like we are drowning in emotion, eventually coming to believe that we are the emotion. And therefore it becomes frightening and difficult to release it, because we've taken it on board. It's become a part of us, so we hold it. This creates a twofold fear of feeling emotion. Firstly, we fear to feel the emotion because when we feel the emotion, we feel it as a part of the self. Therefore, we become attached to it on some level and we're frightened to let it go. But we're also frightened to feel it because it may make us feel there is something wrong with us, because we have over-identified with it. You know, secondly, the experience of identification with the emotion creates a fear of being possessed by it, consumed by it, and overwhelmed by it. You know, and I reckon this probably happened to the crazy white man from the story in part one at some point. He most likely said, as we all do, "I am sad, I am angry, I am embarrassed, I'm ashamed, I'm jealous, I'm afraid." You see my meaning? "I am sad" is an identification with the feeling. So humanity's biggest distortion is a fear of feeling. We are scared of possession. We're scared to own our feelings and we're scared to be possessed by them. And my teacher, you know, she says the bulk of her work that she does is teaching people how to feel their feelings, how to get back in touch with what they feel. So the white man that's saying, "I'm sad, I'm angry, I'm embarrassed, I'm ashamed, I'm jealous, I'm afraid," you know, eventually over time would say, you know, "Oh my God, I am sad." So say, for example, if I was feeling that, I would say, "Oh my God, I am sad. I'm not me. I am sad." And this is not really true. You know, it's like, but we take this on board and then we go a step further and we might judge ourselves for what we feel. So we say, oh my God, I am sad. I'm not me. I am sad. Oh my God, I shouldn't be this sad. I must be bad or wrong in some way. And fear and judgment of our feelings blocks the flow of energy or emotion that is running through the body. So the emotion gets stuck inside of us. And over time, it solidifies inside of us, making us heavier or denser, rather than being what it is meant to be. Emotional energy is just light encodements. Emotions are encoded with light that are meant to inform us in the moment and then move on. And we instinctively know how to work with our emotional body when we're very small, when we're children, when we're babies. We know to allow the emotional body to run. We laugh, we cry so easily and instinctively because we're connected through the heart to the heart of the universe. You know, we haven't separated yet. We're still connected to the mother. We forget how to do this because the judgment and fear of the emotion takes over. The mind, or the masculine, rather than holding and perceiving the emotion, starts to suppress it and then seeks to dominate the feminine heart. And this is an internal and a societal patterning. It plays out in so many ways within us and within our world. But we can bring about the divine balance from its foundations by holding the heart in the mind and working with our emotional pillar. So when we do this, the masculine is holding and protecting the feminine, and the suppression is released. So when we start to work with the emotional body, we're actually rebalancing the masculine and feminine energies inside of us. And this is equality. This is, you know, and with the hope that that echoes out into our world. The thing to remember is, you guys, fear, greed, and judgment are not really a part of the culture of humanity. Our culture at its roots as a species is interconnectedness. This is why it feels good, because it's natural to us. The other things that don't feel so good have been given to us by unnatural, imbalanced systems and societies, by those who wish to dominate us, because that male energy has been skewed since that time, the fall of Atlantis, that, you know, and the fall of Rome that I was talking about in the physical pillar. So to come back to our natural state of interconnectedness takes a high level of spirituality. Through this, we come back to the heart by accepting, working through, and understanding all of our own emotions. And we can only do this when the mind holds that, when we are balanced enough in the mind to do that. So we bring the mind on board with that. We clear out the artificial blocks and the heavy emotional density as we release the old emotions that have been suppressed inside of us, as we learn to work through our emotions in the moment, and as we learn to read our emotional body in the way that it was meant, as encodements of information and light that are informing us in the moment. When we do all of this, we come back to nature, we come back to love by learning to transmute our emotion. We also expand that field of the heart. We expand that heart field. And that takes us closer to Gaia, closer to that field of the earth. And through this, you know, our sphere, our heart sphere gets bigger and pulls more to us. So we become more influential and our lives flow in more ease and grace. So transmuting emotion, you guys, means to take what is heavy and make it light. Transmuting anything is like taking something that's heavy and making it light, turning metal into gold. So transmutation of emotion leads to transmutation of our karma. This leads to liberation of ourselves. And I talked about this a little bit in the physical pillar, how we're tied in through our karma, through the heavy blocks inside of us that we haven't looked at and we haven't healed. Transmutation of our karma happens through emotional healing, through the emotional body. Transmutation of our karma is the key to spiritual liberation and personal freedom. It's key to sovereignty. It's key to empowerment. So emotional energy is that powerful. So imagine how that impacts us when we don't work with the emotional body at all. You know, when we're frightened of the emotional body, we just shut it down. You can imagine the impact that has on us. When we know emotional energy is a key to transmuting our karma and ultimately liberation. So we can see how avoiding the emotional body actually imprisons us. Emotions impact the physical. They can hurt and they can shake us. They can make us ill. Emotions impact us mentally. They can shock the mind into surrealism. They can create chaos as we express them. They can jump in chain reaction from one person to another, causing so much havoc and misunderstanding. Emotions also impact us spiritually. That which we cannot heal becomes our karma. It keeps us locked into lower planes of existence and stops our ascension journey, stops our evolution. Emotions are so impactful. It's actually not surprising, you guys, that we might prefer to avoid them sometimes. But we can't, you know. Emotions are part of our intelligence. We are wired for emotion. We are emotional beings. We have a divine human heart. And these currents of moving energy inside of us called the emotions contain encoded information. They are keys to our ascension. These currents of energy are spiritual opportunities to read into ourselves and release our karma. We feel to heal. We cannot heal a wounding we avoid. That which we won't look at only festers. It becomes infected and infectious. So that which we don't heal inside of ourselves, we can pass on to our children, we can pass on to our families, we can pass on to our loved ones. We can give them our emotional baggage, for sure. Yes, our hidden emotional wounds will be infecting and affecting you, but also those around you, even those you love. And this is karma. This is our karma, or rather our karma drama. So when we come across a situation and we think, not this again, not this same argument, not that again, it's just our karma. It's what's not healed inside of us, impacting our lives, impacting those we love, creating the chaos. So let's breathe. Whew, there's such a lot. There's such a lot in this pillar. It's a big deal. Take a breath, you guys. Let's come back to the heart. Bring yourself back to the heart. Back to the center of the self. The heart is the central control box of everything. And if we can access our heart, we can recognize our higher self. So to come back to the heart in this way is so important. To take that time every day, several times a day, to bring yourself consciously back to your heart. because it brings you to your highest possible self in each moment. And your higher self is the part of you that recognizes interconnectedness. Once we are acting from our higher self more, it's way easier to see when we are acting from our lower self too. The problem many of us face is that we're so stuck in our lower selves, we're so far away from the heart and from our center, we don't know what we're doing. We don't know what we're doing to ourselves, we don't know what we're doing to others. We can't see the error of our ways. Once we come into the higher self more, we feel the lower self as a vibration. So we feel when we're in our lower self, because pretty simply, you guys, it doesn't feel good to be in your lower self. It feels contracted. There's a lot of negativity there, blame, shame, this kind of stuff. It's what starts to manifest when we're too long in the lower self. So we feel when we're in the lower self. The vibration of the lower self is uncomfortable. It's restricted and contracted. Once we become accustomed to being in our highest possible state at any one time and in that interconnected state, it's more comfortable living on this earth. The higher self is not afraid to access our feelings because the higher self lives within the interconnected heart. And this kind of heart is non-judgmental and unconditional with its energy. When we avoid our feelings, we're in our lower self because we're being conditional. We're saying, you know, I like this, but I don't like that. But when we're in our higher self, we're interconnected, we're non-judgmental, and we're saying, you know, it's all okay. When we're in our higher self, we're in that expanded heart space. We're connected to the mother and we mother ourselves well. We love ourselves unconditionally and we love each other unconditionally. It's beautiful. So to strengthen your emotional pillar, we have to let ourselves feel. We have to practice feeling. And actually, the more we can feel, and the more we can see how we feel and work through our feelings, this pulls us nearer and nearer to our higher self anyway. But first we have to relax enough to feel. First we have to come back into that heart center, that space where we breathe and we say, oh, my mind is in my heart, my breath is in my chest. I can feel my heart expanding, I feel relaxed. And somehow we have to release the fear of feeling. We know the reasons for the fear. You know, we know that it's difficult to feel what we feel sometimes. We know that we can over-identify with it. We know that it can lead us to blame and shame and all of that. But now, if we do not run from the feeling and we do not perpetuate the emotional fear, we start to embrace ourselves fully because we're embracing our capacity to feel. We're embracing everything inside of us, not just the things we like. And as we embrace ourselves fully, we come back to love. So we move through the fear into love. And when we're in our heart, when we're fully in our heart, there is nothing to fear. Our heart is the greatest protection because it creates a field that existence itself can feel. And this field connects us to what is loving, and that field repels whatever is not loving. Remember, you guys, to suppress the emotions takes energy. Emotions are so powerful. So to suppress our emotions takes a lot of energy. You know, we have to really rise ourselves up to hold those emotions back, and we become like a giant dam, constantly holding back the water or holding back the emotions. We plow so much energy into this, we don't even know we're doing it. All of our strength can go into holding the emotions away, and then we become tired and eventually unwell. So domination of emotion actually makes us weaker. And I'm thinking now of the old paradigm of stiff upper lip, show no emotion, be strong. But actually that kind of attitude actually energetically makes us weaker. It makes us less impactful. It shrinks us down. It makes us smaller. Suppressing the emotions actually makes us more vulnerable. So ironically, trying to be strong can actually make us weak. You know, we avoid emotion because humanity as a whole has become quite frightened of it. The fear creates a distortion, so we can no longer discern our own encoded energy and the information in the emotional body. And we can't clear our karma that is associated with that when we are in fear of it. We forget that feeling is healing, and feeling our negativity is a part of positively transmuting it. We've lost sight somewhere of our capacity for emotional alchemy. So when we're feeling our emotions, even when we're feeling our negativity or feeling our blocks, we're healing them. We're transmuting them just in the act of bringing them into the light of awareness. We're turning that, base metal into gold. We're releasing the suppression. Without the alchemy of the emotional body, without the alchemist, lead cannot become gold. So we remain heavy. And so it's important, you guys, to remember that getting to the heart of things doesn't always feel blissful or even loving. It can feel like the heart is breaking apart or breaking open. When we are crying, we know we're in our heart. And it takes a lot of crying to come back fully to the heart. All the same, even when it feels like your heart is breaking, you must never close yourself down. Never close it down. Never turn it off. Because if you're a spiritual warrior, you need to feel it all. Remember, when you cry, you're in your heart. So many people say, how do I get into my heart? How do I feel my own heart? I'm not in my heart. And they're crying, saying, how do I get into my heart? The answer is you're there. It takes time for us to undo all of this learned suppression, to come back to nature after all of this distortion. So give yourself love, give yourself time, and never close down. It's a part of our evolution as human beings to remember how to work with the emotional pillar so that we can transmute our karma and elevate ourselves into new levels of consciousness, because we're not tied down by our old blocks that we won't look at. We're turning lead, the lead inside of ourselves, into gold. This is evolutionary alchemy. Very beautiful. Okay, I'm just wondering. Yeah, let's continue. Okay, so we have so many energetic emotional currents running through us in the background and sometimes in the foreground of our lives, but they're always there running through the background. We come back to love, yet sometimes because of over-inhabiting the mental body, inside of ourselves we can feel cut off from love. It's like for some of us, we can't always feel our heart because we're trained into living in the head. This is what I say. If someone's crying saying, I can't feel my own heart, they are in their heart, they're crying. They can't feel it because they're in a mental process about feeling their own heart. So the head is dominating. They're stuck in the head. During these times, you guys, and we all experience that, I know I have myself, we can really utilize the external world of nature. That flower, that tree, that river, or that bird can activate your heart. Gaia activates the heart through magnetism. She pulls you to her through your heart. So attuning your heart to Gaia feels relaxing and safe. It dispels the fear of feeling. Remember, we can't perceive properly or make decisions when we're in fear. To be fully in the heart and discern with the mind of the heart from here, we have to feel safe. So tuning into Gaia, tuning into the earth, is tuning into the mother. And this holds us. Remember, the sphere of the heart, the sphere of the earth is holding that. She holds us and calms us down. She reassures us enough energetically that we come back to nature, back to love, back to our own heart. So nature takes us back into the heart. So when we're stuck in the head, go out in nature. Music has a similar effect. Music also activates the heart. It pulls the heart into resonance with it. The vibration between your heart and your music choice becomes similar, resonant. Sound is vibration, and the emotional pillar is vibrational. We feel it. We feel it. It's like jigga 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 jigga. So you can use music to activate your heart. You know, I can remember my teacher Rena saying to me the first time I met her, she said, there's pain in your body and it's got to come out. I want you to go home and listen to some music that'll make you cry. And at the time I was like, eh? But I understand now that she wanted me to activate my heart and release the emotion that was causing the pain. And I didn't need the mental process of knowing what it was. I just needed to feel it and release it. Remember, you guys, I'll repeat myself, interconnectedness or love is our natural state. Music pulls us into a resonance or a harmony with it. And this is why music is such a powerful medium. I mean, we all love music. We all have certain songs that just can break us down and certain songs that can lift us. Music affects us emotionally. It makes us feel something. Remember, interconnectedness is our natural state. We all enjoy harmony. We vibrationally want to harmonize with each other. Resonance feels good. Dissonance feels bad. This is why, you know, we are pack animals. We are meant to live in groups. We are not solitary beings. When we resonate with someone else, it feels good. When we don't, and we are ostracized and isolated, the dissonance feels bad. Some of us acutely feel both resonance and dissonance through the emotional body. This is like the work of the empath, that you can feel it vibrationally. Like I said earlier, you can feel a sort of truth in things. You can feel what is wise and what is intrinsically stupid. So some of us feel resonance and dissonance through the emotional body, and it informs us and it detects the truth. We can ask ourselves, vibrationally, for me, is this resonant or is it dissonant? And this is how we can emotionally discern truth. We feel it as a vibration. So we can discern through our emotional bodies, we can discern our truth. We know what's good for us and what is not. What we need to do is learn to listen to that and act upon it. The emotions are very pure, you see. They cannot lie. We feel how we feel. Even if we think we shouldn't, we still feel that way. This is why we shake sometimes when we're speaking the truth or when we're telling a lie. We're trying to adjust in vibration. We're trying to harmonize. This is why sometimes speaking your truth is difficult, because it can create different dissonance, because my truth might not be your truth. And it's the same when we're telling a lie. You know, one of the big lessons the heart can teach us is discernment of this, vibrational discernment, feeling our truth. And we need to do this more than ever at the moment, because we're in such a dense time. you know, the density of the 3D plane is which is a lower vibrational plane, is trying to pull us into it as we are trying to evolve into a 5D consciousness. So humanity is trying to raise its vibration into a higher frequency, but the density of the 3D plane doesn't quite want to let us go yet. And the old 3D earth is very close to the chaos of the lower astral and the trickster energies that are connected to the lower astral realms. We'll go into that in... do we go into that now? No, we'll go into that in the next recording. I'll give you guys a break. There's so much in this, we might well have a part four. But that's okay. Yeah, we'll go into the astral realms in the next recording. But just to finish this, we want to realize, you know, that at the moment, the earth is trying to ascend. The earth is trying to move into 5, 6, 7D, a higher vibrational frequency. It's part of the cycle of the earth. The earth herself is in an ascension cycle, trying to take us with her. But there is an old sort of residue of the old dense plane. So she's leaving behind the 3D version of herself, which is still trying to pull us into it. You know, and so when we feel the truth inside of ourselves, we can feel what is resonant and what is dissonant inside of the heart. It gives us access to know, you know, to either elevate ourselves into the truth or devolve ourselves or keep ourselves stuck in the density of dissonance or negativity. And that's why the emotional body is so important, you know, in so many ways. It's so important for our ascension. It's so important to help us release our karma. So we'll go into this more in the next recording. Okay, lovelies. But for now, go and get yourself a cup of tea, have a little break, and I will speak to you soon. All my love. Bye-bye.